Yo, this, that, and the third with G Moody. Fresh up today. Great Thanksgiving weekend. The leftovers are still being poured over. We still getting down on the leftovers because it was all good. I was the chef. Did it up. Macaroni and cheese, stuffing, turkey wings. And they were delicious. And of course, we had some good sangria that my man Dave brought over. Want to shout my man Dave Hines, came all the way from the great county of Brooklyn, Kings County. Chilled. We had a good time watching football. I hope everybody else had a great time. Good eating, stuffing yourself. That's what it's about. We live in a great country. Let's eat like kings and let's enjoy football and family.
It started off at 13, breaking all the rules. Cutting school or burn it up at my brother's school. Not a bona fide money taker yet, but learning fast about all the things that dirt gets. Roaming the streets with my peeps in the evening, creeping. Ice pick up my Pacific Trail sleeping. Sometimes just beating people for the hell of it. I was so young that getting locked.
This Thanksgiving weekend, went to the movies with my daughter. We saw Creed 2. We saw a great character. We saw Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren, made an appearance. They added Ivan Drago's son. Exactly what the fuck I was talking about. They skipped over Clubber Lang. Did anybody know that Ivan Drago had a son? No, the same shit I'm talking about. So they could do the same thing for Mr. T, and I hope they are considering that for the next installment of this shit, because although I panned Creed 2, I must say it was a good flick, and I suggest people who love the Rocky franchise, go check that shit out. It was great. It was exciting. Michael B. Jordan did his thing on those weights. You got to give him credit. Sylvester Stallone, everybody did good. But like I said, Clubber Lang, his son, needs to be in the next one. They showed Drago's son out there in the Ukraine lifting cement. What could you do with Clubber Lang's son? Clubber Lang's son is in Chicago. He's out on the street. He don't know what the fuck to do. Cops fucking with him on some Black Lives Matter shit. But he finds out Clubber Lang was about it. He whooped Rocky ass. So Clubber's like, oh shit, I never knew my pops. You could do the same thing. Same thing.
Although cliche, true like that's how we play. Stack completely. Get more dukes about the DJ. 30 spins, FM, every DJ. All city, NY with the replay. 103K, give me the leeway. I take it from there. Brooklyn's number one. It's all about this. Another day, another dollar.
Speaking of movies, had the pleasure of finally watching Quincy on Netflix. Quincy Jones, prolific music producer, a conductor of orchestras, worked with Frank Sinatra, everybody in the world knows this dude. He produced Thriller and Off the Wall. So basically, this is one of the world's greatest producers that spanned all the way from the 50s all the way to modern times. This is prolific guy. After watching this documentary, I'm saying, damn, Quincy Jones is, man, these guys growing up in the 30s and 40s. Imagine how fucked up it was for black people then. Like, how did they even get through it? How did they go through that shit where it was just blatant in your face? Yo, you can't do this. You can't do that. In the documentary, he didn't make one mention of that, of the atmosphere. It was all about going forward. No matter what, you go forward, which is a testament to the greatness of America, because at that time, everything was against black folks' ascension. So these dudes didn't make any bones about that shit. They just went about their business and got to the top in the worst times for black Americans. So that brought me to today, made me say, what's worse, then or now? This is why I love them dudes from the old days. It ain't no griping. It ain't no complaining. It's what it is. But also, it's getting shit accomplished in spite of the bullshit. So now this guy is at the top of his profession in spite of that shit that they were trying to literally hold this guy back. That's when shit was in play. That's when there were laws against you getting ahead. So I have a more profound respect for those dudes of those times because there is no complaining. It's just, yo, this is what it is. We're going to get this shit done no matter what. These motherfuckers today act as though they are in those times. That's when it was real deal. And I understand it ain't always fair. But what I'm saying is don't act as though we are living in the times of Quincy Jones and Ray Charles when they came up. That's some real shit. Put everything into perspective. That documentary put shit into perspective for me and hopefully other people. And there's one thing this motherfucker said, Quincy Jones said that was profound. He said, not 1 ounce of my self-worth depends on your acceptance of me. Not 1 ounce of how I feel about me depends on you, on what you think of me. So what he was saying was, I don't give a fuck what American society thinks of me. I know I'm great, and I'm gonna show you and the world what time it is. See, that's the mindset motherfuckers need to have. That's what you need to have. That's why those old dudes are always saluted, because they really came up in a fucked up time. Salute to Quincy Jones and all of the guys of that era, including my pops and my moms. It's a different mindset. It's like, fuck it, we gonna do it.
In the 40s came bebop, the first bebop, the real bebop. So let me talk about Diz and Bird, giving the word, defining how a beat could be so complete. Playing with ferocity, thinking with velocity, about ornithology or anthropology, and even epistrophe, and this is real history. Thelonious Monk, a melodious thunk, no mistakes were made with the notes he played his concern.
As we continue to sip on the sangria, as we continue to get involved with the aluminum foil of the trays of food, because it was the Thanksgiving weekend, I had no episode completed. Woke up and said, oh shit, I gotta get this shit done. I gotta release it. So this is what I'm doing right now. We going straight through the Jerry Lewis style telethon shit. Remember back in the days, no commercials. They just rocking at midnight. This is what I'm about right now. So the sangria is being poured. We wanna shout out the fans again. Every episode, we shout out the fans. And if you got any topics that you wanna hear with G Moody with Kick, be sure to send me a voice message at anchor.fm/G-Moody. If you want to support, go to anchor.fm/G-Moody. Want to give a shout out to all the staff at Anchor. Go to Apple Podcasts and review. Give me those great stellar reviews that so many others have given. And rate it.
Adios amigos, better known to see you later. Grab the mic like the jaws of an alligator. My name is Sneezoe, I'm making lots of pesos. And if you break down, I'm like Mako. Me the teacher of the town, the answer of the question, the preacher of the whole rapping session. A fact, not fiction.
Everybody saw that Dwight Howard shit. It's trending on Twitter. Basically, in short, money was living on the down low. You may say, who the fuck is Dwight Howard? He's an NBA player. He's a center. Basically, he's a power forward, but his ex-gay lover called him a 6'11 power bottom. Basically, this dude outed Dwight Howard. He plays for the Washington Wizards in the NBA. He says he has audio recordings, pictures, texts. He met him on a set of Wildin' Out, that MTV show. Dwight Howard allegedly got into his direct messages back and forth. Homeboy got the transcript. So it all came to a head, no pun intended. And now this gay dude is online letting all the shit go. All the transcripts, all the audio recordings, telling Dwight Howard allegedly, why you at those transgender parties going raw? And he said, Dwight Howard likes to receive. Now, I was thinking about all this shit. I said, if I'm Dwight Howard, because you always got to put yourself in that motherfucker's, whoever is going through some shit, you say, what would I do? Since Homeboy got everything, since it's so clear that, yo, he knows so much about me, you ain't got no choice. Now, what I would do is I would just be like, I'm having a press conference, I'm coming out the closet. Because the jokes are going to be forever, and you can't backpedal. It's not like you could go, yo, that ain't me, that ain't me. This motherfucker got transcripts, got your number, got the pastor's number. It is you. So what you got to do now is come out and embrace the gay. Being gay is not a crime. It's not a joke. So if you say at a press conference, yes, I had a lot of bullshit within me and I am gay, nobody can make jokes about that because gay is gay. That's what it is. It's fine. But if you don't do that, then you're going to have jokes forever because Homeboy is just going to come out with more shit. Now, I would embrace that gay and I would be like, yeah, I'm in the NBA and I'm gay. And I'm going to be in the dunk contest. I wore a cape the last dunk contest that I won because they call me Superman. And he put on a cape and he did a crazy dunk. Why not wear a rainbow cape? You got to try to brand this shit. You got to put on a rainbow cape and do dunks. Embrace it because the humiliation is too great right now. So as a strategy, all his PR people would say, listen, man, this motherfucker got everything. There is no denying this shit. We can't help you. But if you do it like this, you could save face. Just be gay. You're gay. This motherfucker said it. Come out, and this is how we're going to turn it around. You enter the dunk contest with a rainbow cape. You come out with a rainbow costume, the LGBT community will jump to your motherfucking defense. This is what you should do. Don't deny it. Because the reason why he's putting it out is to shame you. But if you embrace the gay, there's no shame. Enter the dunk contest with a rainbow cape. And as I look outside, I see the leaves are changing, leaves are falling off the trees, and I see the squirrels running all around, and I don't like those motherfucking squirrels because I tried to buy some tulips. I went to Home Depot a couple of years ago. I got hyped. I was on Park Avenue. Anybody from New York knows you go on Park Avenue and it's spring. They plant those beautiful tulips from Holland, and it's all beautiful colors, and you just be like, damn, that shit looks great. How do they accomplish that with the squirrels? I'll never know. But I tried to do the same shit. So I bought tulips, dug up my ground here in the front of the building and in the back. And from what I understand, the squirrels were just scoping my whole shit out. And as I dug them the next day, they went in there and dug them out and left half-eaten bulbs. Like, yo, what the fuck are you doing, man? Did anybody tell you how to do this shit? You can't plant anything. I tried to plant carrots. I tried to be on my green thumb shit. They just came and gorillaed my whole garden. Anybody that has a green thumb, hit me up via Instagram, text, whatever. I need help for the spring. I looked it up online. They said you gotta buy fox piss. Where the fuck am I gonna get fox piss at? Ain't no foxes in the Bronx. So anybody that has a green thumb that can tell me how to deter these gangster-ass squirrels in the Bronx that lounge in the trees and watch me plant my little carrots with my daughter being so hyped and then coming out the next day and seeing my whole garden ravaged. What can we do? I don't got no scarecrows. What the fuck can I do? I want to be ready for next spring. Help.
Yes, y'all. Well, I was walking down the street real late one night. Look up ahead, I saw a big bright light. I got the temptation that I couldn't resist. So I walked on over and took the big risk. I walked a little closer, and what did I see? I see the big spaceship that the planets can be. The door opened up, and to my surprise, a short gray dude had walked outside. He had some blue and white Adidas and some fresh white leaves. He even had a nickname that said E.T. He walked on over and he said, to me. I don't come from Pluto, Venus, or Mars. I came from.
As we wind down on this great, uniquely American holiday that they call Thanksgiving, here at This, That, and the Third with G Moody, we are changing the title to Family and Food Day to get away from the negative connotations of Thanksgiving that come with the massacring of the Native American people. So this day is family and food. And then you throw in football, of course. I like to call it Family and Food Day, especially because I've been fortunate enough to travel and been to certain countries, and I see how some people live, and it gave me a greater perspective when I landed back in the United States. So my Family and Food Day is always much better than it was in the past when I had nothing to contrast my living. So I am greatly appreciative of everything I have. And I tell these young motherfuckers, never get too high, never get too low. Always have perspective, because life could end at any moment. Considering you know that, then you should enjoy every day on some special shit, because it could end. You could be walking around just like you see in the news, cats walking down the street, some shit come off the roof, boom, end of story. You don't control anything going on in your body, the heart rate, the chemistry. So you know all of that. So you should enjoy life. This is what Family and Food Day is for me. The fact that I'm actually living and breathing and enjoying my family and enjoying my daughter, my beautiful daughter, Imani Moody, and all my friends. That's what it's about. It's not Thanksgiving to me. It's called Family and Food Day, and we throw in that great football game just so we can watch.
I am an orator, dope rhyme connoisseur, never leaving your board on the dance floor. You want more smoothies, got enough for four scores. Chewing MCs like Reese's Pieces and treating other MCs like feces. They walk around with no direction. They get mad over our complexion. They didn't pass inspection. Nice and smooth is your best erection. I like an Audi with fuel injection. Don't wear glasses, got good perception.
As we keep it going here, like I said, this is some Jerry Lewis type of podcasting, because I wasn't prepared due to Family and Food Weekend. I saw on TV that motherfuckers is going crazy for TVs on Black Friday. We see two women snuffing each other to get a television. That's what it's about? Fighting for fucking TVs? Women? These are consumer maniacs. I don't know what's so special about this particular television. What does it do? Why would you snuff another person for a TV? Because of the price? That television price is going down after Christmas. So what you should do, if you were a real American consumer like I am, you have to understand that the retailer makes all of their money during this time. So as a wise consumer, what you fucking do is you wait till December 26th. And from December 26th to January 1st, that's when you get all your shit. That's what I used to do for my daughter. I used to tell my daughter, yo, Christmas for me is December 26th. That's when I could buy you more shit, because they cut shit in half 70%. So all that TV you fucking snuffing motherfuckers and tripping people for, you could get it for less if you just wait till December 26th, 27th, all the way to the 1st. But since you don't understand retailing, you're gonna fight for little consumer electronics. You're a dumb motherfucker, man. Capitalistic society, after the 25th, then that's when the real sales begin. 80%. Go to the malls on December 27th or December 26th. Go to the fucking malls. They're all over the windows. 80% off, 70%, all the fucking stores. So that TV you beat that woman's ass for is less. Just wait. The consumer maniacs are out in full force. I'm telling all my fans in America, wait until December 26th. Kick it to your kids. Say, listen, you want all this shit now, but we are smart. Our Christmas is the 26th. That's when I buy all your shit. Be smart. The retailers are smart. You be smart as well. This, That, and the Third with G Moody here, kicking some retail advice.
In another man's existence, resistance, resist this master plan to turn the black man into a statistic. Why? Because he's materialistic. He wants to make a record.
As we finish off this sangria and we finish off that great macaroni and cheese, of course, we have to have an update. Like I told you in the last episode of the arrogant barbarian that had the nerve to go to another man's country and try to impose his white Jesus on them. They dealt with him the way governments deal with invaders. If motherfuckers came here and tried to land on Coney Island Beach, they would be vaporized and blown to bits. But since those tribesmen don't have that weaponry, they arrowed the same motherfucker that came over there and tried to impose his will on them. They've been living like that for centuries. So the nerve of a motherfucker to come over there uninvited as an invader. So, update is this. The New Delhi Indian police are now mapping out the area to see who actually killed this motherfucker. Why are you doing that? He was the invader. They got dealt with. This tribe doesn't fuck with anybody for thousands of years. Who is the real criminal? Them or the guy invading? So they need to fucking get his family and say, yo, why you let this motherfucker come over here? Why? All is forgiven. We hope the Indian authorities say, yo, case closed. This, that, and third with G Moody on the Family and Food Edition. We went all the way through on some Jerry Lewis telethon type shit. Like I said before, take into consideration what you have and be thankful because it could be a lot worse. Life is good. Life is bad. It's all part of the experience of living. Don't get too high, don't get too low, but G Moody is always going to be here. This Saturday 3rd with G Moody live from the Bronx, New York, as usual. Peace. The realness.